Thanks very much for having me here. I think if I'd mentioned being blackballed, maybe I wouldn't have got the invitation. It was a long time ago, and it wasn't, I think, what I said. It was who I brought with me to say that they happen to be female. We've got a really tough subject, I think, this morning. When I told my wife that I was going to be speaking at ALMA, she didn't react that much. When I told her the subject, she kind of looked at me in that incredulous way and said, "What have you got to say about humility?" I know a few of you here, and it's really nice. I feel I'm amongst friends. And you would probably say the same thing, those of you who know me. And the more you know me, the more you'd know that this isn't my number one subject to be talking on. But actually, let's pray that as we look at this together, it is not me who's speaking, but God who's speaking to each of us. Because this is, I think, a crucial thing for us to be looking at. A humble people. This is the second in a series on the passage from 2 Chronicles. If I can just give you the setting of 2 Chronicles, you might well have covered this last week, but I'll give it to you anyway, that finally the people had settled. The Ark of the Covenant had been incorporated into this massive temple that Solomon had built. The temple was to be the place where God and his people met, and it was the answer to sin. Here was a place of sacrifice, and here was a place where God met his people. His people. I think last week, that was the message of last week, that we are his people. We might call ourselves followers of Christ as Christians, but actually the fundamental thing is that not that we're followers, but actually we belong to God. We are his people. And there God met with man, and they'd had this celebration as to the dedication of the temple. And we read that there were 22,000 cattle that were sacrificed. 120,000 sheep and goats were sacrificed. So actually quite a lot of blood around. And there was music and there was all of these other things. And God had come down and something of his glory was shown. Then all the people went away, and Solomon had prayed beforehand, and he had prayed to God that if the people went astray, that God might meet them and forgive them. And then afterwards, in the quiet, when everybody had gone, God met with Solomon. And the verses that we're looking at, which I'll read to you, God was actually saying, he said, "Look, if you go away from me, you will experience pestilence. You'll experience disease. You will experience all those things. Things will fall apart in your land. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And I think it's actually very interesting that having had all of that sacrifice, and that being a place of sacrifice, God didn't say, "If my people sacrifice some more, I will heal them." It was to do with these things that we're going to be looking at over the next 5 weeks, our responsibilities as being part and being God's people. And this first one is being a humble people. So this is one of our callings as being God's people. But actually it's one of the callings if our lives are not right with him. Now this is cafe church, and my understanding of cafe church is that there's a contract. You get coffee, you get brioche, or whatever, but there's no such thing as a free breakfast, so you need to participate. Now I'm going to give you a starter for 10, and let me tell you, this is the easy bit. Later you're going to be doing some more difficult things. I want you just for a moment to rate yourself 1 to 10 on how humble you are. So if you are really, really humble, you're a number 10. And if this is not part of you, then you're a number 1. So just think. Okay, now is why you're not going to ask me back again. If you reckoned you were 1 to 5, I want you to stand up. And this is where you're really not going to ask me back. If you think you can sit down again, if you don't want to stand up, you can put your hand up, but you can't, no excuse. If you're a 6 to 10, now get up. Now that's brave. If you talk to the martyrs, I'm sure they'll all say that they were number 6s and not 10s. Okay, having done that, because actually this isn't just saying if you as individuals, there's a corporate sense. So, and I'm not going to ask you for the results of what you think now, but I want you to think as a church, as a people of God, how you rate yourself in your humility, how humble you are. Is it 1 to 10? And just think of that, but hold it in you, and I'm not going to embarrass you, so you don't have to lie to yourself that it's something different. So, what is humility? What is it being humble? I think actually one of the things, the whole thing of being humble is not particularly in our culture. It's one of those Christian virtues that I don't think we see around us. I recently was advertising a job, and I got about 150 replies. And, you know, in the 150 replies, not one person in their personal profile, as you do these days at the start of a CV, had put anything to do with their humility. Maybe because they were so humble they didn't want to put it. But actually it's not a value that we appreciate. And I don't think that's just because of the age we're in where Christian values aren't appreciated. If you go back to Dickens, those of you who know your Dickens will know the character of Uriah Heep in David Copperfield, who went around saying what a humble person he was. And he's derided for that, partly because he was just saying it, but that was a view of humility, this person who was saying how humble they were. I looked up on Wikipedia how humility is defined, which I think is quite interesting. Humility, adjectival form humble, is the quality of being modest and respectful. Humility, in various interpretations, is widely seen as a virtue in many religious and philosophical traditions, being connected with notions of egolessness, Now, what egolessness is, I don't know. But then Wikipedia is saying, actually, this is something that's a virtue in religious and philosophical traditions. On Eton College, that place that develops prime ministers and cabinet ministers, we read some words of the headmaster. Our primary aim is to encourage each Etonian to be self-confident. By the time he leaves the school, we want each boy to have that true sense of self-worth, which will enable him to stand up for himself and in doing so be of value to society. I guess I was brought up in that kind of environment. In fact, when I was at university, I was at university in Bristol. It's what brought me here. And this was, I have to say, before I became a Christian, I did become a Christian at university. I had this saying, which was, I know I'm conceited, but I have good reason to be. When I became a Christian, I think I saw a challenge of that, and a challenge of it in terms of doing something about my pride. But in many ways, humility is something, until recently, I haven't actually, I think, grasped at all. And the recently was January of this year. I was listening to a sermon at Redland on Micah 6, and I'm sure you know the words from Micah 6. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Now, justice has always been something dear to my heart. When my wife and I were first married, we worked in West Africa. And actually, I think seeing injustice from that perspective, it's something that's always been dear to me. And more recently, I've been a volunteer down at the Wild Goose Cafe. And actually, God's been teaching me something about mercy and showing mercy. But walking humbly, tricky one. And God spoke to me that evening. And he said to me this. He said, if you want to walk humbly with me, you need to walk humbly. Now, I need to do a little bit of explanation to say what that actually meant. I walk to work, and I'm quite an observer on behavior, and I've always been interested how on busy pavements people on the whole don't bump into each other. I mean, they do occasionally, and I've always been one of those people that when somebody's gone along the pavement doing this, I just stand in front of them. I'm that brick wall that makes them realize that they're being incredibly selfish. They shouldn't be playing with their phone. They should be looking at people. People move out of the way. And one of the things I'd actually observed was people move out of the way of me. So I don't actually often move out of the way. People move out of the way of me. And God said to me, actually, for you, this is a really practical issue. I want you to be the person who walks humbly down that pavement, to move out of the way of people. And I've been practicing that for the last 4 months. And being God, he doesn't actually just let you go that easily. And to start off with, it was just seeing people ahead and just moving a little way out of their way. But he's been challenging me on lots of things. I get really, really annoyed, and if there are cyclists here, I apologize for this. I get really annoyed at cyclists using the pavement rather than using cycle paths or the roads or whatever. But God's been saying to me, actually, you need to walk humbly with them as well, move out the way of them. And cars who go across red traffic lights, actually, rather than looking as if you're going to hit them, you walk humbly with them. He's been teaching me about myself as well, I think. He's been teaching me about my whole way of looking things. And actually that being humble isn't about doing things myself, but letting other people be there before me. And that's touched my relationship with him as well. I've suddenly realized that some of those areas in my life that I've just not been prepared to let him in, now I actually have to, because I've just started to learn a little bit of this humility stuff. Now, I think it's taught me particularly three things about what it is to be humble, which I want to share with you before I actually want you then to do some work yourselves. Firstly, that being humble, I think, isn't about your personality and your upbringing. In Numbers 12, Moses is described as a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. But Moses, of course, wasn't always like that. When he was a young man, he killed an Egyptian because he saw this Egyptian bullying, beating some of his countrymen. And he thought, I'm not going to let that happen. And then the next day, we're told that he saw some other Egyptians fighting. And one said to the other, are you going to kill us as well? And they accused him of acting as a ruler and a judge. But God actually needed him as a good leader. So he took him out and he trained him as a shepherd for 40 years. And when that occasion, we all know so well that Moses was confronted by God in the burning bush, Moses just said, who am I? How can you use me? Because actually, Moses had learned what had been to be humble, even though naturally he was not a humble person. So even for me, who's not been brought up with humility as my middle name, I can be humble because it's my actions, it's not what I'm like. And the second thing I think I've learned, and it was what I learned from the people who go around with their mobiles, the bikes on the pavement, is actually being humble isn't about our rights. It's not about our rights. I might be right. I sail competitively. What I mean by that, not that I go fast, but I compete. And it's all about rights, and you claim your rights. It's not about our rights, being humble. It's about other people's rights. And the passage we heard, that well-known passage from Philippians, of Jesus, and Jesus had the rights. Jesus was God. But actually, he didn't claim that right. Instead, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to be a man, but not just a man. You know, at the Last Supper, when someone needed to wash feet, he was the last person who should have done it. But actually, he wanted to teach his disciples about what it was to be humble. So he got on his knees and did that. And he died for us. He was not the one who committed those sins, it's us. But he humbled himself. Being humble is about letting go of our rights and actually letting the rights of others to come first. And if we as a people, if you as a church, want to see something of God's blessings, then I think that lesson is the hardest thing. Which really goes on to my third thing that I've learned, that being humble is a bit like being on a diet. If you're somebody like me who carries too much weight, you're constantly trying to eat less, and it is a constant battle, and you never win it, and you have to go on learning new things and battling in new ways. And that's what we need to do. Now, I want you to be doing some stuff in groups, but before that, a challenge to you, a challenge to you as individuals, of going a bit further with this. I don't know how you search the Bible for things. This is my Bible. It's normally called an iPhone, but I call it a Bible. The main reason is that when there's, when the iPhone 6 comes out, I can go and buy one and come back home and say to my wife, "Look, I've got a new Bible." It doesn't work, actually. She sees through me. But actually, what I love about having the Bible here, apart from the fact I can read it on the bus and people think that I'm Facebooking or whatever, what I love about it is the search in it, that you can search for things. And I don't know how you search for things in the Bible. Maybe you use a concordance. Maybe you use websites, and there's loads of websites around now that you can just go in and search things in the Bible. But I'd encourage all of you to actually search through the Bible and see how God talks about being humble. Because right from the start in Genesis through to Revelation, there's such a message of being humble. And that message is partly God saying, if you're not humble, I will judge you. And the message of Moses going to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go, was actually, you need to humble yourself before God. But on the other side, there's a message of, if we are humble, God blesses us. And I suppose right down to that beatitude, how blessed or blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is the upside-down kingdom we work in. So that's the challenge for you individually. What I want you to do now, because I've said enough, and there's lots of things I'd love to say about the results of humility and being humble and how it affects our witness, how it affects our relationships, how it affects our prayer. I'll tell you, my prayer life is better from learning something about being humble before God, because I need him more, because I'm seeing some areas of my life that just are so in need of change. And believe me, and if you were to talk to Julia, my wife, she would convince you of it. Believe me, they need so much change. So what I want you to do, though, is to, in groups and tables, and you've got a little while to do this, you've got sort of 10 minutes, called for an hour, 10 minutes, I don't know how much. I want you to talk through two things. The first, which is especially for those who rate themselves 1 to 5, or in fact any of you who didn't rate yourself 10, which I'm assuming is all of us. And certainly if you were 10, you wouldn't tell us about it. You probably, if you thought yourself 10, got up in the 1 to 5 because you wanted to display that humility. So the first question really I want you to discuss, and if you're just in a couple, I suggest you join together so there are a few of you, is how can we as individuals humble ourselves before God? And I want you to actually share something of your own experience with each other. I'm not going to want you to report back on this. This is something that I want you to work with others with and actually talk about how, as individuals, you can learn more about what it is to be humble. And if you are somebody who feels that you're pretty much on the edge of the church, you hate talking about these things, join a group and don't say anything, listen. And I'd ask you as groups, if somebody's just listening, give them grace not to need to participate. So you don't need to expose anything of your story, but tell your stories to each other. And secondly, what should we be doing as a church? What should you be doing as a church so that you might be and show yourself as a humble people? That's the calling for us. Now, if you're somebody who gave the church a lower number than you gave yourself, you probably got something to offer as to how you can help lead. If you're somebody who put the church's humility higher than yourself, then maybe number one is what you need to do, because you're probably part of the problem. The G.K. Chesterton quote of correspondence, which nobody's quite sure where it was probably in the Daily Telegraph, about what is wrong with the world, and he wrote, "Sir, concerning the article of what's wrong with the world, I am." And it often is us, isn't it, that as a group, the problems are related to us as individuals. So it's those two things, and if you want to, as you're thinking of them, actually don't think about how others should change, but how you should change. It's not your rights, it's their rights. So I'll leave you together. If you want to go and get some coffee and escape on the way, do that. And I leave it to you for a few minutes. Around 2,000 years ago, there was a group of probably 20 people who were sitting up in a room together. They'd lost their leader, and probably many of them were looking back over the last weeks and feeling they hadn't tackled things quite the way they would have liked to have done. One of them particularly, I think, a man named Peter, would have thought back to the way he had really stood up and said he was not going to deny Jesus. But he did. They were there together praying. And of course, today is the day that we remember Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day when that group of people were transformed from people who were probably feeling bereft, having lost their leader, to people who were just about to embark on a new ministry. As the Holy Spirit filled their lives, suddenly they had those words to speak. They could share their faith in the way that they could never do before. They were transformed people. And the wonderful news is that that same Holy Spirit will work and change our lives. He's there to be with us, and to change those things that we find so terribly, terribly difficult. If we want to be a humble people, we need to let him into every area of our life. We need him to show us how much we need to rely on our relationship with God. And we need him to actually help us to be the person who's willing to put our rights before the rights of those around us, whether they're people at work or wherever we spend our sort of daytime, or whether they're people in church whose opinions we think are wrong. We need to be humble before them. It's not our rights, it's theirs. But the Holy Spirit will work with us and transform us and show us these things. So let's spend a moment in prayer together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you were that great example to us in humility, that you gave up everything in your life, including your life. Though you were with God and you were God, you came and lived with us, but also you didn't live with us as this boss who bossed everyone around. You were the servant king. And we do pray this morning that as we seek to be more like you, that you will transform those areas of our lives that we find so difficult. And for those here this morning who are like me and just do battle over being humble, especially when we know that we're right, we do pray that by your grace and through your Spirit, you will change us so that we can be together a humble people, and therefore we can be part of that process of healing that our own lives, the lives of our church and the life in our world just is so desperate for. And we pray these things in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.